fuel tanks and pipeline. That was their intent. They did not have the technical expertise or know-how how to do it, but they clearly aspired of doing that. Homeland Security officials here in New York and elsewhere stressed that at no time are war passengers in any direct danger. There is no heightening of the national terror threat as a result of this plot, but obviously it's concerning that, you, as Ray Kelly said during the press conference, that here you have an individual in his adopted homeland, the United States, turning on his own country, aligning himself with radicals, and plotting, allegedly, to blow up Kennedy Airport, something that is very troubling. There is growing concern about this homegrown threat and how individuals use the internet or could be recruited to perhaps try to carry out plots like this. In this case, Mark Mershon, the FBI director, said this plot is foiled. It is no longer in danger, no longer out there. They're satisfied that they've wrapped this group up. That is the latest from the newsroom. Let's go back to you.
Jonathan Deans, thanks so much. One of the comments that was made by the U.S. attorney at the news conference, Rosalind Moskoff, said the devastation that would be caused had this plot succeeded is just unthinkable.
On a recent radio show, we talked about those, I think I might have used the word hand jobs, in New Jersey that were going to attack Fort Dix. And it seemed just so stupid. And the media, of course, they buy everything, 100%, hook, line, and sinker, absolutely and totally. Whatever the Bush government says, they believe every word of it, and they go hog wild with all these hard facts they have in their hand. And it was all a bunch of crap. It was some Middle Eastern guys that worked at a pizza parlor, and that became the most serious threat since 9/11. Well, now it's happened again, this time in New York. The rumor was that some idiots were going to try to blow up JFK. They were going to put some explosives on the jet fuel tanks. And of course, the jet fuel tanks run under hundreds and hundreds of homes, maybe thousands of homes. So that gave this the potential to be much, much bigger than 9/11 ever was. 9/11 was just a walk in the park compared to what these guys were going to do. And they got to thinking, aren't we lucky that these guys weren't trying to invent a moon-grabbing machine? A machine that would reach up and grab the moon and slam it into the earth and kill everybody on the planet. So that's the deal. We're going to try a little experiment here. What if those guys that were going to try to blow up New York, JFK Airport, what if instead of that, what if they were trying to build a moon-grabbing machine and all they needed was enough steel and enough money, maybe some brains, and someone that knew what they were doing, maybe some mechanical engineers and this and that. So they're trying to build this moon-grabbing machine that's going to destroy Earth. And let's see how that fits into this little story.
Let's go back to sort of the beginning. We know that they were targeting these pipelines from a Buckeye facility. It runs along the Long Island Railroad right-of-way through Brooklyn, through Queens. She is not exaggerating to say, had they been able to make this plot operational, the devastation would be just about unimaginable.
So, right, if these guys had been able to build the moon-grabbing machine, the devastation that would have come would have been just totally unimaginable. She's not kidding. This district attorney or whoever, prosecutor, whoever it was, she was not kidding. She talked about the global destruction that would happen if this moon-grabbing machine had been built.
Yeah, this is the most densely, literally the most densely populated place in the United States of America. And if it were possible to cause an explosion along the entire length of the pipeline, it would have had extremely devastating effects.
Since Earth is the most populated planet we have, the destruction that would be caused by this moon-grabbing machine is just off the scale, unimaginable, and she's not kidding when she said this would be the worst thing of all times. If they get this moon-grabbing machine built and they punch the go button, and the moon crashes down into the earth, oh, that would be worse than 9/11.
One of the reasons why it would be extremely difficult for them to accomplish the totality of what they were trying to do is that there are fail-safe measures that are built into the valve system inside the pipeline.
Well, wait, that's not what the prosecutor or district attorney, we'll call her the prosecutor. That's not what the prosecutor said. The prosecutor said that this was the big giant thing. And now this guy comes along and says, well, the valves would prevent them from doing what they're doing. Well, then, so it's not as big a deal as what they're saying. So, since it's not as big a deal as what they're saying, why is this 24/7 wall-to-wall, channel-to-channel hysteria just gone wild? They're just going crazy with, you know, this breathless reporting. We just got another thing. They mocked JFK. Oh, they said if you kill JFK, you'll really demoralize. It's just so awful, so terrible. We got some more news here. But when you stop and think about it, the vows would prevent that from happening. So what's the big deal?
So overpressure that occurs in one part of the pipeline automatically causes the closure of valves in other areas of the pipeline to shut the flow of fuel off. But it doesn't. That would not preclude a great loss of life and great devastation. And they were also targeting locations on JFK proper. There's no reason if they could have developed the capability to do what they're trying to do with the Buckeye pipeline, they couldn't. There's no reason that they could not have used explosives had they had enough.
Excuse me, Mr. Crazy Person, can you say that one more time? Because the words that went in my ear just cannot be the words that came out of your mouth. Could you say that again?
There's no reason if they could have developed the capability to do what they're trying to do with the Buckeye pipeline. There's no reason that they could not have used explosives had they had enough.
If they could have developed the capability to do what they were trying to do, which they didn't, then that means there's no reason why they could not have used the explosives that they didn't have. To me, that sounds like, Bart, if you're good enough to play in the NFL, there's no reason why you couldn't play professional basketball too. But what the fuck? I'm not good enough to play in the NFL. So how does it stand to reason that if I was, then I might be qualified to play in the NBA? That's just crazy. That's crazy in a room full of crazy people. This guy could talk to Charlie Manson, and Manson would make the most sense.
To destroy specific areas on the grounds of JFK, and that would have been awful, too.
So if the moon grabbers target specific cities for the moon to crash into, if they had a moon grabber, and if they had the money to build the moon grabber, and if they had the steel and the brains to build the moon grabber, targeting all these other cities just makes it, so much worse.
We now have Mike Taibbi, who was in that news conference, is now outside for us as we've been explaining to people. No one was able to get live TV pictures out of there. And I just want to let you know, for your information, Mike, and for your reporting, that we were able to get some tape back of Roslyn Moskoff, but that's basically all we've heard from this news conference.
Notice that there's no suspicion about why the press conference was held in a place that would not accept, or for whatever reason, they weren't able to have live cameras there. So what they did, they would run a guy in with a camera, and he would tape him for 5 or 10 minutes, then he'd run outside with his breathless report. Oh, the moon grabbers, they're just awful. Here's the next 10 minutes of reporting about it. Meanwhile, another guy would run in with his camera and tape the next 10 minutes, and then he'd run out, I got the second report here on the giant moon-grabbing controversy. And meanwhile, then the first guy would run back in with the camera. Why were they parsing out this story 5 minutes at a time? A, there was no story. And B, when you hold a press conference where you can't put a camera, isn't anybody a little suspicious? Why did they not want cameras to report this great thing that Godly Bush crushed? Because of Godly Bush and his vision and his leadership and his mental skills, was able to stop these moon grabbers in advance. But we don't want any cameras. No cameras allowed at the biggest Osama-like terror-stopping event of the year. That doesn't make any damn sense.
Tell us what you learned, what we should know.
Well, actually, this was really a home run. A home run by many people, which meant a lot of people got to take their home run swings because of what is called, justifiably in this instance apparently, interagency cooperation, a joint terrorism task force headed by the Justice Department, the FBI, obviously, the U.S. Attorney's offices for the various districts, the local police departments in New York and other cities and districts involved, the Port Authority police, of course, and on and on and on, and of course, local Homeland Security officials who were part of this from the time the investigation began in January of 06, about a year and a half ago.
So, just like with the hand jobs at Fort Dix, they sat on this story for a year and a half. And it makes you wonder, why did they sit on this non-story for a year and a half? And it's because This is so long and deep, I can't even get into it. But, you know, the firing of the 8 prosecutors, one of the replacements for those is a guy named Tim something. He was Karl Rove's number one aide, and he was put into Arkansas to do something. They fired the 8 prosecutors that wouldn't be their puppets, and they replaced them with 8 puppets. And what this puppet named Tim in Arkansas, he helped Karl Rove blackball like a 500,000 votes. And to make it worse, these are soldiers' votes. What they would do, they went through a list of voting rolls, you know, the roll call for the voters, and he picked out the ones that were in Iraq that might not vote for Bush. And they sent this thing to their house saying that he personally had to sign for it. And when he personally couldn't sign for it because his ass was in Iraq, then that paperwork went back to the voter roll place, and they struck his name off. In other words, they stole his vote. They did this to hundreds of thousands of people, and they got caught. And to verify that he got caught, and this isn't some internet rumor, he had to resign. The guy is gone. And this is a huge story, that Karl Rove's aide, who's in the middle of this prosecutor scandal, and we know that's a scandal because, remember, every time they asked him, who made the list? They said, well, I don't know. I think Bob made it. Bob said, no, I think Bill made it. No, Bill thinks Fred did it. Well, Fred said, well, no, Bob did it. I saw him. And then Bob says, no, you saw what I had that Bill wrote. And so that's why this giant circle jerk with Monica Gooding and Torture Boy Gonzalez and McNulty and all these players in there, everybody's saying, no, I didn't do it. He did it. The other guy did the list. Nobody knew who made the list. And the reason is the list of these prosecutors was dictated by Karl Rove, who can't be involved. And anyway, that, like I say, it's a giant, giant story. It's proof that Bush stole the election, and they don't want that story talked about. Greg Palast was on Randy Rhodes last Thursday, and I don't think he's exaggerating when he said, this is the number one story on the planet right now. It's the number one story coming out of BBC, and BBC is, we'll say, the biggest English language news service in the world, and they ran with it number one, top story. But no, none of the American networks, no CNN, no Fox, obviously, none of the ABC, NBC, CBS crew, nobody would touch this story because it's just too big. It proves that Bush stole the election. It proves that Karl Rove is a crook. It proves that Gonzalez was covering up this whole crooked affair. I mean, it's just a big, giant story that nobody will touch. And to be sure, that story didn't make it on the front pages or anywhere. I don't think it made anywhere. You know, you might see a little tiny paragraph somewhere that this Tim guy resigned, but people think, well, maybe he wanted to spend more time with his family, and that's it. So to prevent that from being the top story, they released this thing, oh, they were going to blow up New York, and we stopped them. Just like the Fort Dix thing, this is a story that they sat on for a year and a half, and they waited until they needed a big story, and they decided to release it just as this Tim guy, that scandal was breaking. And the networks and the news organizations, they all went along with it. Hook, line, and sinker. Oh, this is the biggest terror attack in the whole history of the mankind that we were able to thwart here, even though the guys didn't have any money, they didn't have any bombs, they didn't have any anything, but we were able to stop them. This incredibly horrible moon-grabbing threat, we were able to stop.
And what we heard at the bottom line, and this is what we're all looking for, is that, in the words of Mark Mershon, the FBI agent in charge, is that the public was never in danger throughout the entirety of this investigation.
So I got to ask, if the public was never in any danger, why is this such a big thing? These guys weren't going to build a giant moon grabber. They just weren't. It wasn't going to happen. It was never going to happen. I'll design and explode a nuclear bomb before these guys will build a moon grabber or whatever the hell they were pretending to try to do.
Right now, that plot is over. They made their approaches to terrorist groups or alleged terrorist groups like JAM. Whether they got a return call, whether they got any promise or offer of assistance, specific assistance, wasn't outlined at all, either in the complaint or in the press conference.
So the idiots made a phone call to U.S. Steel, and as far as we know, never got an answer. Maybe U.S. Steel didn't even take the call, but still. But just in the nick of time, we were able to stop the moon grabbers from building their giant moon-grabbing machine. Thank God for godly Bush.
One of the names that came up is this known organization, Jamaat al-Muslimin.
Sure.
Was that mentioned at all in this news conference?
Yes, of course it was, that there were approaches made through two of the individuals in Guyana to JAM. Now, I've spent a fair amount of time in Pakistan, as you have, and you know that that is the most active and, in the eyes of Western intelligence, the most dangerous and provocative of all the religious parties in Pakistan, specifically anti-Western, even more specifically anti-American. As I said, and I asked Mr. Mershon this question, was there a return call? Did they make any promises of assistance, either in obtaining explosives or the expertise or logistical support to actually deliver on the threat, to actually create and carry out an attack? And the answer was the public was never in danger. So my guess is, and this again is from a conversation I had with a federal source before I even came down here for the press conference, that these guys, meaning these four, were not capable of carrying out the plans that they were talking about.
So what makes this a story? If there was never a chance to build the giant moon grabber, why are we all rejoicing that Godly Bush saved us from the giant moon grabber? It didn't happen. It wasn't going to happen. And have you ever heard a guy say so many words without saying anything? These people, this is MSGOP we're listening to, and they're on for hours and hours and hours, and they got nothing to say. There's no story here, but they just figure if they get all out of breath and talk in these urgent tones, oh my God, oh my God, Godly Bush has saved us again. That's their idea of news reporting. There's no story here.
But they were seeking the capability to do it. And because apparently they were, and there are many recorded conversations, surveillance of these individuals, to make the case, because they were seriously planning to do it, getting closer and closer to the level of knowledge they needed to have to carry it out. That's why this became a press conference, really a victory lap for everybody involved, because they did stop it. The threat is over.
Now I wish I'd kept track of how many times this idiot says the threat is over, and then it would contrast with how many times this same idiot said there never was any danger. How can the threat be over if there was no threat? The moon is safe, still in its orbit. Repeat, the moon is safe. It is still in its orbit. It is not going to crash because they stopped the moon grabbers just before they were able to get hold of the money and the steel and the expertise and the knowledge and every other goddamn thing they'd need to get anything done. They couldn't. A year and a half went by. Heard Randy Rose say today on her show, one of these guys was selling pencils or something on the side of the, you know, these New York street vendors. He was selling pencils and papers and school supplies, trying to raise $50 to put food on his family. He wasn't going to build a giant moon grabber. He wasn't going to grab the moon. He just wasn't.
When I first read these, both the complaint itself and then asked a question later on about motive in the press conference, Rosalind Muskoff, who's the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District, went right to the quotes that I saw in the beginning. So I'll give them to you because she didn't have them on the air before. This is DeFreitas, Russell DeFreitas, the Guyana-born defendant who was living in Brooklyn, former employee at the airport. He said that the attacks as contemplated would result in the destruction of the whole of Kennedy Airport, that only a few people would survive the attack, and that because of the location of the targeted fuel pipelines, whole parts of Queens would explode as well.
So if they were able to build the giant moon grabber and they were able to grab the moon and pull it out of orbit and smash it into New York, yes, there would have been a whole lot of casualties.
Anytime you hit Kennedy, referring to the airport, it is the most hurtful thing to the United States. To hit JFK Airport, wow, they love JFK Airport like he is the man. Former president. If you hit that, the whole country will be in mourning. It's like you can kill the man twice. And you'll hear that quote tonight from Rosalind Muskoff, I'm sure, on Nightly News. But she said it, and that's the one that struck her as well.
Apparently that idiotic quote is what made the story. You can just tell, listen to the guy, he gets wood. They all do. I've heard this quote 30, 40 times from 30, 40 different people. Oh, do you know what he said? Did you hear what he said about JFK? And they just do that. And our media is such shit. The news reporting agencies are such shit. You can get more facts out of a Mad magazine. It's just crazy. I heard someone say America is slipping out of 96th. I don't know. There's only, 200 and something countries, and we're 96th for freedom of the press or whatever. I forget exactly, but this is a great example of it. We got the war going on. We got everything bad that could be happening is happening. And they're concentrating on something that doesn't exist. That's their job. Pretend there's a story. You know, what would be cool is if the Pulitzer Prize people were to make their big announcement and say, this year, nobody wins the award for journalism because there are no journalists left in America. Everybody's pretending there's a story where there's not one. And since there's no more journalism, since journalism is dead, we're just not going to give one out this year. If any reporter wants to win a Pulitzer Prize next year, just report some facts. Would you give us some damn facts? And quit buying every piece of crap thrown to you by Karl Rove's White House.
Let me go now to Evan Coleman, because, Evan, I thought that was some really great information that we got now from Mike Taibbi. What's your headline here?
Yeah, again, it's interesting to see that Jamaat al-Muslimin came up specifically in the press conference. Again, it stands to reason. This is the group that's active in Trinidad and Tobago. It's active in this region.
You know, if I was there, I would have to slap people. I would have to start choking people. I'd be in jail 15 minutes after I started. I realized that. They're going on and on and on about this JAL or whatever the thing is, but there's no evidence. They've already admitted there's no known connection between the two. The connection between the two is less certain than between Al-Qaeda and Iraq, and we know how that turned out. But they keep going on. Let's dig deeper into this connection that has nothing to do with this story. Let's dig deeper into this group that has nothing to do with this story. Why? This is so dumb.
It is the predominant extremist movement, Muslim extremist movement in the Caribbean. If I was a terrorist and I was going to try to hook up with locals in that region, that's exactly who I would go to. They are known for having supplies of weapons. They're known for having very anti-Western ideology. It's a no-brainer, really.
Well, gee, dude, since it's such a no-brainer, you think we might call it a slam dunk? And if this group in Trinidad, Tobago, whatever it is, if this group is a known group, they've got arms, they've got money, they got expertise, they hate America, why don't we go get them? We don't mind invading countries if there's a possible whiff of suspicion in the air. And if these guys are in the Caribbean and they're out to kill us and they've got weapons, they're a known entity, that any hand job in New York can go knock on their door. Hi, I hate America. Can I have some bombs and some money and some maps and shit? And they said, well, sure. So why don't we send the FBI to knock on their door? You know, I thought it was in here somewhere. It was hours of tape, and I just grabbed a chunk of it. But they said these guys were so guilty. One of them took photographs of JFK. And the other, you know how dastardly these guys are? One of them actually used Google, the little satellite Google Earth, to take a picture of JFK from above. Now, how much more threatened could America be?
You know, the statements that were made, again, these are statements are really straight out of the playbook of homegrown terrorist cells. This is exactly the kind of dreaming that they go on. Sometimes it is a little bit far-fetched. And again, I think what we've seen here is that maybe their aspirations did not match their technical capability.
Translation. Wanting to build a moon-grabbing machine is a lot different from having the brains and the money and the steel and the electronics and everything else to build a damn moon-grabbing machine. They weren't going to do it. But they just keep telling us over and over, whew, thank God we're safe. We caught them just before they lit the fuse. But there was no fuse. There was no bomb. There was no nothing. Everybody knows that. I knew it at the time. You can tell when they start talking about this. Same with the Fort Dix thing. Same with most stories that come up. You can tell right away if they get some serious people using restrained language, then there may be something going on. But all this hysterical, blah, 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 and then when you listen to the words, they didn't really say anything. You just got to ask yourself, why are you on TV? Why aren't we watching the Three Stooges? Why do you break into programming to tell us that there's no news and the threat's over that never existed?
But even if they had been able to blow up one section of this pipeline, even just disrupting the flow of jet fuel into one of these airports would have a devastating impact. I mean, remember what happened just with the JetBlue fiasco. That was the result of a blizzard. It literally shut down transportation.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of this too, so we'll do one or two more and get out. But, you know, dude, the difference is the blizzard was real. That was an actual physical thing that could be seen, touched, felt, tracked on radar. Its effects meant something. But a bunch of guys sitting around at a card table drinking, talking about building a moon grabber is not the same threat level that a giant fucking blizzard is.
And it disrupted the lives of thousands of people. That was not a man-made disaster. That was nature. Imagine if all of a sudden the flow of jet fuel was stopped to three major airports in the New York metropolitan area.
Imagine the devastation when the moon crashed into the earth. Think how devastating the devastation would be on the devastationers. Fuck it, I can't take no more. This is just, it's just so crazy. These are the same people that said that Saddam's got the WMDs and everybody knows it. These are the same people that said George Bush was the most qualified man to ever hold the office. These are the same people that told us that his crazy-ass tax cuts were going to rebuild the economy that was fine when he took office. Just one constant lie out of the media. They never tell the truth. It's all just a giant, well, you know what it is.
You know, you have to take this seriously.
You have to take it seriously. I don't know why he didn't say why. I can't imagine why anybody would.
And you have to base it upon intent.
So if three children intend to pull the moon into the earth, you have to take that seriously. You just have to. Because they had intent.
The second part of that, Evan, that I think is critical, and maybe for these terrorists, many of them equally important, is the psychological impact that a successful attack would have.
Well, hey, we can all agree with that. Think of the devastation when the moon crashes into the earth. Fuck it, I'm out of here.
Show, and that's a big deal for me, right? A big national show, and I'm promoting my life on the D-list stuff. But here's the kicker. I got to go on the same day that crazy bitch Ann Coulter said that shit about the 9/11 widows. Remember when she said that they were a bunch of harpies who had it coming, and those guys were going to divorce them anyway, like all that shit? Okay, so I'm watching the show because I wasn't even at 30 Rock yet. You know, it starts at 7. And there's crazy Ann Coulter, who I will say one thing. I have to admit, she does crack me up, and here's why. She's bonkers, but don't you think she's kind of like the naughty poster girl of those old conservative dudes? Right? Like, you know when Rumsfeld is beating off? He's like, oh, suck it, Ann. Right? You know Dick Cheney's like, oh, teabag my shit, Ann. And she's on there at 7 in the morning in the middle of Rockefeller Center in the still working the black mini cocktail dress like it's the 80s and she's in the Robert Palmer video. The lights are on and you're not home. All right, so that cracks me up too. So she's sitting there in the middle of New York saying these horrible things about the 9/11 widows. And you know how when you're sort of paying attention to the TV and you can't believe you heard it correctly, so you turn into Scooby-Doo? So she's like, they're a bunch of harpies. And I'm all, whoo? And then she actually said they should take that money and keep their mouths shut. Whoo? Now, I will tell you that as an American, I was incredibly offended. But as a comedian... I live for that shit. I was like, Jessica, send her a muffin basket. So it's time for me to go to 30 Rock. And being a D-lister, I am not being interviewed right there in the middle with the people with the signs, right? I'm being interviewed a block away at an unopened diner by Al Roker. Fine. I'm thrilled to be included. Okay. So he's got his card with the questions, right? And he goes, so tell me about season 2 of My Life on the D-List. And I go, what about that nutbag Ann Coulter? So... I go, what is she doing showing up at 7 in the morning in a black cocktail dress? Who was she banging last night that she couldn't go home and change? So I do the whole interview about Ann Coulter. At one point, Al Roker just takes the card and just throws it on the ground. And then at the very end, I just go, Tuesdays at 9. I walk out of the diner and one of the Bravo executives goes, "You didn't even promote the show." And I said, "Well, Ann Coulter shouldn't have said that stuff." So then she goes, okay, we figured out a way for you to sort of promote the show. And I go, what? She goes, the guys from Queer Eye are here, the Fab Five, and you can stand next to them and wave as we go to commercial. I'm like, oh, sweet. So I go see those guys, which is my gay wet dream, right? I'm just in gay heaven. And I love those guys. And so then I see Matt Lauer and Ann Curry. And I know that I'm the first person to say this, but I got to tell you, Matt Lauer is very sexy in person. He really is. He really is. He's too skinny the way people on TV are too skinny, but he's super charming, and he knows how to work my shit. So, you know, I get all nervous, and Matt Lauer comes up to me. He grabs me by the small of my back, and he goes, "Hey, sweetheart," and I f***ing buckle, right? And I was like, So, when I'm nervous, I tend to say inappropriate things. So I go, "Hey, what about that Ann Coulter interview this morning?" And he goes, "Yeah, I know." And I go, "You're not f***ing her, are you?" And he goes, "What?" I go, "You're not f***ing her, are you?" And then he said, "Not after today."
Finally, new rule, Jimmy Carter must be shipped off to Guantanamo Bay. Last weekend, former U.S. president and current Al-Qaeda operative, Jimmy Carter, launched an unprovoked attack upon democracy itself by telling an Arkansas newspaper that the Bush administration has been the worst in history, and people were shocked. Arkansas has newspapers? But once again, we were sucked into a phony controversy about who said what and how it hurts George Bush's feelings. Because when you hurt George Bush, you hurt America's feelings. And when you hurt America's feelings, you hurt the troops. And when that happens, Tinkerbell's light goes out and she dies. Now, as for Carter's assertion, I was up all night on Wikipedia doing an exhaustive study of former presidents, and while other presidents have sucked in their own individual ways, Bush is like a smorgasbord of suck. He combines the corruption of Warren G. Harding, the warmongering of James Polk, and the abuse of power of Richard Nixon. Nixon got in trouble for illegally wiretapping Democratic headquarters. Bush is illegally wiretapping the entire country. Nixon opened up relations with the Chinese. Bush let them poison your dog. Herbert Hoover, who was literally named after a machine that sucks, sat on his ass through 4 years of depression, but he was an actual engineer, and if someone told him about global warming, he would have understood it before the penguins caught on fire. Ulysses S. Grant let his cronies loot the Republic, but he won his Civil War. Harding sucked. But he once said, "I am not fit for this office and never should have been here." So at least he knew he sucked. He never walked off stage like Bush does after one of his embarrassing, language-mangling press conferences with that smirk on his face like, "Nailed it." Or maybe that's just the look you get when you have a showdown with the Democrats and you win, like he just did with Iraq. You don't get to become the worst president ever without a little help from the other side. You know, I like Jimmy Carter, but when the Republican fake outrage machine pretended to be so upset at his remarks, Carter did what Democrats do and backed down. He said his words were careless and misquoted, and the sun was in his eyes, and his hearing aid went out, and he was molested by a clergyman. Instead of looking them in the eye and saying, "No, I meant what I said because it's true," and speaking as the first citizen of Habitat for Humanity, let me take out my Jimmy Carter toolbox and build you a house where we can meet and you can blow me.
Well, there you had it. And in case you're wondering, that lady comedian was Kathy Griffin. And the fellow, of course, was our good friend Bill Maher. Show 19 is in the can. Hope you like parts of it. I'm going to get to work on show number 120. I'm going to get the show. I'm going to get to work on show 120. Oh, that sounds like a milestone, don't it? And you know, after 119 shows, I still got no business behind the microphone, but if nobody else will say it, then I must, with my rat-like voice. Okay, so before we go, need to thank the subscribers, need to thank the people who send the occasional check in the mail, because remember, we're trying to defund this war. If you send me a check in the mail, please put a blank or the word donation on the four line, and then maybe attach a little note saying, send me a shirt, send me some stickers or whatever. So be sure and tell all your friends, I need to subscribe to Bark Cop Radio. Got to raise some money. Oh, and the last thing, I'm not sure what's up with the San Francisco Hemp Fest, Tequila Fest, Poker Fest. Nothing is falling into place. It's looking like just a big obstacle course. So I think what we might end up doing is saying, hey, I'll meet you at Tommy's Tequila Bar at 4 o'clock on that Friday the 13th. Oh, no, I don't have a lot of good luck with that date. But we could all meet at Tommy's, because there's probably going to be 4 or 5 people in there. Hell, we'll probably have enough people to fill up a booth. Check us out. The big Bark Cop Fest is at booth 4. And that's it from K-Drag. We're probably 2 weeks from sweet Bixby Corn. Oh, God, take me. Oh, better not say that. He might hear me. Going to leave you with a song by my good friend Andy Pratt. He sent this in to me. You can hear this song and a whole bunch of other good songs at andypratt.com. P-R-A-T-T. andypratt.com. Called Business as Usual. And I am out of here.
When the world blows up, when the world goes mad, while we get closer and closer to the end. Business as usual. When the world blows up, when the world goes mad, while we get closer and closer to the end. War is good for business.
War is good.
Everything is good.
As usual.
When the world blows up, when the world goes mad, while we get closer and closer to the end.
Will you stay with me? Will you take my hand? Will you laugh anyway?
When the world blows up, when the world goes mad, while we get closer and closer to the end.
Will you be my friend? Will you take my love? Will you care for me?
When the world blows up, when the world goes mad, while we get closer and closer to the end.
closer to the home.